1-800-449-8686. And now, Phil Hendry.
I had a newspaper writer call me a couple hours ago, and he said to me, a guy writing an article for a newspaper, and he said, wanted to get my opinion on a couple of things. He said, now you sound uncomfortable lately doing your show the way you're doing it. What, are you uncomfortable? I said, yes, I'm uncomfortable. Of course I'm uncomfortable. You sound like you're a little put off with, you know, some of the callers are too emotional. I said, it's all very emotional. This is a bad dream that we're living. A bad dream. You think I want to come in here and do this show like this every day? Yes, I'm uncomfortable. Take a look at David Letterman on Monday night. Take a look at Jay Leno on Tuesday night. You know, did those guys look comfortable to you? Did they look like they were just gliding right into it? Just Mr. Sunshine, you know, just a smile on their lips and a tap in their step? Nobody knows how to deal with this. This is a time, frankly, when your instincts as a professional entertainer go to the back burner, because nobody wants any shuck and jive these days. These are not the days for Mr. Sunshine, you know? These are the days for some reality. And when the guy asked me, well, you're a little uncomfortable, kind of? Yeah, yeah, I'm a little uncomfortable. How you feeling, man? You comfortable? Or is it just business as usual? Because it ain't business as usual for anybody. I don't care what they say. I don't care what they say. This is not the way it's been for us. I wish it never happened. I wish we could go back to 2 weeks ago. In comparison, the problems that we looked at 2 weeks ago, can you imagine the baloney that was filling our heads and our mouths and the stuff that we were preoccupied with 2.5, 3 weeks ago? Anybody heard the name Chandra Levy lately? I ain't heard that name lately. Gary Condit? What else? What was some of the other stuff? The opening of the NFL season. You know what I'm saying? Barry Bonds chasing 60 through whatever, 70. Poor Barry. You think he's going to bust 70? You think anybody cares? Do you think he cares? He couldn't care less whether he busts 70. At this particular point in the road, I don't know that Barry Bonds or any Major League Baseball player cares whether they win the World Series, whether they go out and go bowling tomorrow night. They want to get through this season. I heard one of the ball players say, somebody asked the question, when do you think you ought to start playing? He said, spring training. Spring training. You know what? I agree. This is a nightmare. Don't tell me it ain't. Don't tell me if you don't think it is, then you're not alive. You're not alive. You're not sentient. You are so self-absorbed, it's criminal. This is a nightmare. Now, let's take the Dow, and I'm not the kind of guy to get upset about stuff like that. That the Dow average is going to take care of itself. The Dow is down 380 points today, and here's the reason why. You want to know the reason why? I'm about to tell you the reason why. I want you to write this down. This is it. We don't feel like we're winning yet. We still feel like we're losing. We feel like we're on the losing end of this fight. That's why the country is sort of retreating. We've been stunned, just like any analogy you want to use to any prize fight you've ever seen. We have been knocked, and we are rocking, baby. We are a little weak-kneed. I don't want you to get this the wrong way, because, you know, you have to back up every comment with a qualifier in case somebody thinks you're some kind of a, you know, you're a defeatist. I'm not saying that. I'm just simply, that's where we are right now, whether you like it or not, whether you're willing to admit it or not, whether you're willing to take a good long look in the mirror and say it to yourself or not. That's where we're at right now. We got jelly in our legs right now. Like any prize fighter that just took a freaking roundhouse off the nose, baby, we are wobbling. I asked my old man this question once when I was a little tiny kid. I said, hey, Dad. He said, yeah. How come, because Japan's so much smaller than us, how could they have, like, kicked our butts like at Pearl Harbor? And my dad said what he said, what you'd say to any little kid. He says, imagine, like, you. You're a little kid, right? I said, yeah, Dad, if you walked up to me and I wasn't looking and you had a 2x4 and you nailed me right in the head, how do you think I'd feel? Oh, okay. And then I went off and kept making mud pies or whatever I did. That's about what it is. This is a foe, a dangerous foe, armed with a dangerous weapon. But it's not bigger than us. It's not bigger than us. Right now, the thing that really bothers me is that enemy that took that 2x4 to our head last week ago Tuesday, is in retreat himself. We don't see that. We don't feel that. We feel like we're losing. And that's why you're seeing the country in retreat. That's why you see people selling their stocks and getting their cash and doing the things that they're doing. Is it going to last forever? No, it will not. I said it yesterday, and I'll say it again. I think it really bears repeating. If I'm redundant, then, you know, sue me. In my lifetime alone, starting with the Cuban Missile Crisis, when we thought the world was coming to an end, we got through it. And then the hell, and everybody remembers the 60s is a party time? Well, maybe if you were like my age, you know, I was in high school, the whole damn thing was a party. Can you imagine being one of what, in those days we called it the establishment, nowadays, of course, we call them adults. Can you imagine what it was like then? In the late 60s, we had Martin Luther King assassinated. We had Robert Kennedy assassinated. At the same time, there were riots in every major American city. The National Guard was called out in New Jersey, in New York, in Detroit, in Los Angeles. The buildings were burning. Campuses overtaken. We thought probably, if many people thought, America was over. I mean, who would not? Who could not think that with National Guard patrolling not one, not two, but at any given time, a half a dozen American cities? We thought we were losing. We thought it was over. Kennedy shot. King shot. We got through it. Then comes the early 70s. Nixon, Agnew resigned. We never had anything like this before in our lives. We had a vice president resign. We had a president resign. We had the Saturday Night Massacre. We had Watergate, young Watergate prosecutors, young men and women, 20s and 30 years of age, locking themselves in their offices so that federal marshals couldn't get records away from them. We had this fight in the executive branch, one party against the other, trying to get... This was a Saturday night. They were locking doors in federal offices, sleeping there, bringing in coffee and donuts, barring the door so they couldn't get the documents to try to get Nixon out of there. You had the special prosecutor fired. The attorney general didn't want to fire him. Somebody fired him. The country was coming apart. Everybody thought that was it. Got through that one, too. Now comes the late 70s. We had the worst freaking inflation. We had unemployment. Used to call it the misery index. Up around 20% inflation, unemployment. Carter got on television and said, we have a moral malaise in this country. We've got a problem. You think it's now? Back in 1979, the president got on television and said, we've lost our spirit. And right in the middle of that speech, what do you think happens? We got a bunch of Iranians taking our embassy in Tehran. They used our flag as a garbage can. They carried the garbage out in the morning with an American flag. They had embassy workers blindfolded and marched around the embassy. They were kept hostage, threatened with execution for over a year. Then we tried to go in and rescue them. How do you think that one went? Not only was it a complete debacle, but the remains of those flyers, the remains of those American soldiers that had to be left there because the other members of the force had to get the hell out, were paraded through the streets. They took the remains of American soldiers and joyfully, joyously, with songs on their lips, paraded them through the streets of Iran. You talk about humiliation. You talk about a low point, man. We got through that one. Then comes the Gulf War. And I'm going to tell you something, because I was there, you were there too, some of you might not have been. I never heard more dire predictions of apocalyptic hell. Germ warfare, biological warfare. Don't do it, America. Saddam Hussein, he's got a Revolutionary Guard. These guys are hard-bitten. They are hard-bitten veterans of a 10-year war with Iraq. These guys aren't any cherries. These cats are no Little Red Riding Hoods. The Iraqis said it. They said it. They said, we're going to open up the furnace of hell for your soldiers. You wait. Come on over, America. Come on, bring it. We're going to open up the furnace of hell. And the dark clouds of war were on the horizon, and everybody thought it was 30. I remember, and don't tell me you don't, because you know it. They said 30,000 soldiers, easy, be brought back in body bags. Easy. Without even breaking a sweat. It was going to be a living hell on earth. Guess what? Turned out a little bit different. They didn't open up no furnace of hell. Those flyers, they made that highway to hell. Remember that thing? We got through that one. We're going to get through this one. Right now, though, we feel like we're losing. We feel like we're losing. We feel like we're backpedaling. Some people are, you know, their faith is, there's a little crack in the wall of how much you got. You know the old saying, man, keep the faith. Remember how we used to say that? You got to keep the faith, baby. Because right now, we are backpedaling from a big roundhouse right to the freaking jaw. Referee's got the, you know, he's looking in our eyes, man, a little glassed over. We gotta pull it together. So how you doing? Because I know a couple of you guys, you know what I'm talking about. This is my job. This is what I've been doing for 28 years of my life, the last 10 years in talk radio. I can sense, I can feel where people are at, and that's where you are at right now. And not only that, I can tell that there's, you know, the old let's get in there and kick ass is kind of waning a little bit now. Don't you guys slip on me. I can smell it. I can sense it. You're slipping a little bit. Don't be slipping. Don't start in with, I'm not talking about big ass-kicking military invasions. I'm talking about staying the course with what is recommended to us by our country's leaders. And this is Phil Hendry, the old socialist, SDS, Democrat, liberal guy. But this is a national crisis, as I said to that newspaper writer today. This is a national emergency. But we're going to get through it. And we can win it. Now, here is a, and when I say that, I'm not speaking as a military leader. I'm talking about the thing that is more palpable to me right now, and that is everybody out there feeling a little bit like we're just losing this thing. Now, our question today on the Phil Hendry Show poll, Phil Hendry Polls America, this is a real, you know, our questions are getting less and less humorous and more like, you know, let's look at the military aspect of this. You know, I can tell you, I have military experience. I used to play Army with Danny Welch, the kid who lived behind us. And I got to tell you, we took his treehouse one afternoon. It was long and it was hard fought, but we finally gained access to the treehouse. And I remember we did a flanking motion, and he went, and I went, so I had to, like, get out of the game for 5 seconds. That was our rule. But I got banged when we took the treehouse. Okay, anyway. If any country is found to be harboring terrorists, along with the economic and diplomatic pressure, I'm in favor of a massive military airstrike and invasion. You know what that is. That's like Gulf War style. B, precise commando-style raids with airstrikes, which is basically what Dale Dye recommended on the show yesterday. C, arming and supplying native insurgents, that is, giving weapons, say, to the Northern Alliance of Afghanistan, let them do the job. Or D, using covert operatives for assassination, which is kind of a long, drawn-out process of making intelligence contacts, etc. Now, let's see how you guys voted on today's Phil Hendry Polls America. Okay, oh, shoot, here we go. I just clicked on the wrong deal. All right, in reverse order, arming and supplying native insurgents, 5%. Only 5%. I frankly like that idea. I like it a lot. In conjunction with some other things, I like it a lot. In fourth place, at 23%, using covert operatives for assassination. In second place, a massive military airstrike and invasion, 30%. Did I say the covert operation was 23%? 30%. And in first place, with 42%, precise commando-style raids with airstrikes. You guys with the 30%, you forget it. You're way, way out of this ballgame, man, because that ain't going to happen. There's no way that's going to happen. Not unless Bush is getting, all of a sudden, the military leadership of this country has completely lost their brains, and he's getting some lousy advice. That is not going to happen, and the reason why it's not going to happen is if you want to start seeing body bags coming home, then you try that stunt. Yeah, let's just invade. Where? How? No, I don't think that's going to happen. I think there's going to be something between that and that commando thing that we were talking about. I'd like to see, personally, the native insurgent thing, or maybe the precise commando with the massive invasion and the insurgent, or covert operation with the precise airstrike. Then, I'm just kidding. All right, 1-800-449-8686. So there's my opening comments. There's my preamble today. And we'll move on. 1-800-449-8686, The Phil Hendry Show.
This is the Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
Oh, this is good stuff, Mike. Thanks for this. Army Rangers. As with all Special Operations Forces, the U.S. Army Rangers report to the Joint Special Operations Command when in hostile or war situations. In addition to the Rangers, which consists of one active regiment with three battalions, the U.S. Army Special... blah, 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 blah. But the Rangers themselves are the spearhead of the Army Special Operation Forces, ready to deploy by land, air, or sea anywhere in the world at a moment's notice. Rangers specialize in rapid infantry assault, night fighting, and airfield seizure. Keep that in mind, you guys. The Rangers specialize in rapid infantry assault, night fighting, and airfield seizure. According to the JSOC, the Rangers have taken part in every major combat operation since the end of the Vietnam War. In many cases, they are supported by the 160th Special Operations Aviation Regiment, better known as the Night Stalkers, which use state-of-the-art aircraft and equipment to assist all Special Operations forces from the air. And then we have a thing about the Green Berets. We'll read this stuff. All those guys that you heard about as a kid, all those units, all of them, at one point or another, probably will be called into action in whatever happens. And by the way, this evening, 6 o'clock Pacific, 9 o'clock Eastern, President Bush scheduled to speak to a joint session of Congress, which will be, I'm sure, obviously carried live on television. We will continue with our program. I don't know what our local stations are going to want to do, whether they're going to preempt this. We're going to be here. And maybe we'll do some half-assed commentary. I doubt it. This is not the time to do shtick. So I don't know. We'll watch it, and we'll continue to talk to you. Here is Dale on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello, Dale.
Hello, Phil.
Yes, sir.
Hey, Phil, love your show. Got to tell you, though, I'm missing Bobby Dooley.
Yeah, well, you know what? I don't know what to tell you. Bobby ain't here and won't be for some time till such time as we can bring her back.
What I had to say, Phil, is you were talking about the fact that this is a country who's kind of wobbling and on the ropes. And I think that that's something that we have to be kind of careful about. The reason I say that is because, if everybody takes that opinion and thinks that this is a country that's been on the verge of being knocked out, it's not going to stop.
Well, we were on the verge of being knocked out, we've been stunned. And if you take a look at the stock, I'm not saying we have been. I'm not saying we will be. I'm saying the reality is, if you look around you today, if you look at this country honestly and not through rose-colored glasses, the reality is that we are stunned. And we are in a defensive posture right now. We literally have our gloves up around our faces, and we're trying to get our bearings. Now, I'm not gonna say it any other way.
Well, I agree with you in some ways, but on the other hand, if we were a country on the ropes, ready to be knocked out, we would.
Used the term ready to be knocked out.
But
I think that's what you're taking. I said that we got a haymaker. I said that we got jelly in our knees. And we've been backed up against the rope, and we've got our gloves up around our faces. Look, Dale, I kind of know where you're going with this, and it's fine. And you can cheerlead, and I think that's a wonderful thing. I think it's important to take stock of where we're at, is all I'm saying.
Okay, well, I appreciate you, Phil. But I also want you to know that we're a country that's much more powerful than what we've been hit by, and
yes,
and
I totally agree with that. And you can say we will prevail, and I believe we will prevail. You also have to take into consideration the possibility of defeat. And if you don't do that, then you don't stay sharp, and you don't stay focused, and you sort of you say to yourself, "Well, we won't lose, and I'll just kind of leave that all up to the Army." And I'm sure that everything is going to be fine. I think that we are going to be fine. I think we do have great armed forces, and we're tough people. But you have to look at what's happened. And there's so much that I want to say, and now I have to take a break. So I won't say it. I'll wait. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
Show is back. 1-800-449-8686. 888-449-8686.
All I'm doing is I'm just assessing the situation. That's all. I'm not thinking negatively. I'm not thinking negatively. I'm thinking positively. I was the guy who a week ago said to you, I think this is the last of the terrorist attacks, when everybody was saying, when's the next one going to happen? Because I felt like I was trying to assess the situation realistically and give you what I thought was, well, obviously what was just my opinion, but a positive opinion. And I also said last half hour before we went to the break, this is an enemy that we are making much bigger than perhaps it really is. I'm not saying it isn't dangerous. I'm not saying it isn't potentially big. But I'm saying now, as opposed to over a week ago, when we barely knew there were terrorists in this country. Oh, yeah, well, we knew the World Trade Center thing. And in the Oklahoma City, that was a kind of a kooky deal. And yeah, you know, but the FBI's on the case, man. They're on the case. Now we've gone the other way. The pendulum has swung completely 180 degrees, and now they're under every bed, they're in every car, they're in every restaurant, they're on every train, they're in every plane. It might be your brother, your mother, your sister, your uncle. I'm looking at Taylor now a little suspiciously. That's where we are. That's where we're at right now. And that's not realistic. What is realistic and what did happen was they landed one hell of a punch. One hell of a punch. It's bloodied our nose. It's loosened a few teeth. I got to get off that prize fighter analogy. It's starting to, you know, I got to come up with another sports analogy here in a minute. And that's realistic, too. That's realistic, too. Now, another question we're going to have to ask ourselves way down the road when all of this is over with, when we finally got a handle on this thing, and we're going to have to do this, and hopefully, like I said, when this all came down, well, this is going to maybe make us better citizens. Maybe we're going to pay a little bit more of attention to what's going on in Washington, and maybe just divert a little of the attention away from, when we're going to have our next book club meeting or whatever we're doing, and maybe pay a little more attention to what's happening. The question is, why has this happened? That is a suitable question for discussion. Not now. I don't care to talk about that right now. I said that last week. I'm going to say it again. I will not listen to anybody. All of my fine, wonderful, loyal Muslim friends who may want to tell me the reasons for this having happened, save your breath. But somewhere down the road, I'm willing to talk about it because I already have my opinions. I already had my opinions before this happened. I had my opinions about America's involvement in foreign government and foreign affairs for a long time. And not all of it was positive, and we were not always the good guy, and we weren't always acting like we ought to as a moral country. Oh, yeah, there's a lot of reasons. Ain't talking about them right now, though. Now, here's something else. FBI and CIA officials were advised in August that as many as 200 terrorists were slipping into this country and planning a major assault on the United States, according to a high-ranking law enforcement official. Of course, they don't say who this is. And this was in the Sun Sentinel. It's been in a lot of newspapers across the country. The advisory was passed on by the Mossad. Israeli's intelligence agency had cautioned that it picked up indications of a large-scale target in the United States and that Americans would be very vulnerable. It is not known whether U.S. authorities thought the warning to be credible or whether it contained enough details to allow counterterrorism teams to come up with a response. But the official said, this unnamed official, the advisory linked the information back to Afghanistan and exiled Saudi militant Osama bin Laden. I don't know if there's anything to it, but I also will expect that, I don't know, 6 months, a year from now, when we get this, the rest of this stuff, we got to, you know, first things first. But I imagine Ashcroft's going to take a trip to Capitol Hill and have to answer some very tough questions. Very tough questions. I ain't saying anything. I ain't saying a word. I'm just saying, if I'm a congressman right now, I got that guy on my list. Just, you know, I got him down there under pick up eggs and milk, watch CNN, Ashcroft. Here's Janice on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello, Janice.
Hello, Phil.
Hi.
I just had two comments. The first was we need to band together. I've been hearing a lot about, some people don't want to fight. Some people do.
What's that? Say that again, Janice. I'm sorry, I was distracted.
We need to band together and unify because as Americans, all of us have differences. All of us may be angry about certain issues in this country. I'm a pro-lifer. I'm for prayer in school. But you know what? I stand side by side with other Americans who disagree with me. Because we need to unify as a country and set aside, our differences so that we can be one unit as Americans. Because if we sit and bicker over
all of that bickering that we used to do over abortions and all of that stuff seems like yesterday's news.
Well, we've got to be a unit, just like our family members. We may have.
Well, what do you mean by that? Be a unit. Tell me about that. What is that?
Well,
How does that look in everyday life?
Well, just don't bring up the issues right now.
Well, who is? I haven't seen anybody bringing up. I hear anybody bring up abortion, pro-life, or anything. The phone's getting hung up.
Well, it's not just that. It's every area, and I know we have racial problems.
Well, who's talking about that?
Well, earlier when I'm a daycare teacher, and at nap time, I listened to talk radio, and wasn't there some firemen today that were upset down in Florida, I believe, or California, not which, they wanted to take the American flag down. They were some African Americans who maybe rightly so have been upset about some issues, some racial issues, but they have to set that aside and don't blame the unity.
The blacks have to set it aside, huh?
Well, yeah, we need to.
What about the whites? They're going to set that stuff aside?
The whites need to set aside their.
Like the Klan, maybe. They could put their sheets up for the day or something.
Oh, for sure.
And all the pro-lifers, they can just sort of back off of whoever's bombing abortion clinics and stuff. We can back off of that stuff now, can't we?
Well, I'm still going to believe for pro-life, but I'm not going to.
No, but can we back off of the abortion clinic thing? Can we get off of that kick for a while?
Yeah, we sure need to stop the. I'm definitely anti-bombing clinics. That's terrorism. But you know what I'm saying? Do you know what I'm getting at?
No.
You don't?
No.
Okay.
What I heard you say is you immediately went to the racial thing.
Well, that's
And you
I
immediately
heard
went to some black folks in Florida or California that don't want to put the flag up at a fire station. And, okay, granted, you know what? You're right.
But they're Americans, and there are some freedoms that they would not want to give up in this country if it were taken away today. And yes, we need to come.
Yeah, you know
a
what?
Way.
Okay, thanks a lot, Janice. Oh, I was getting sure there's something about the tone of her voice that was like a fingernail on a chalkboard. It was starting to drive me nuts. She was starting to sound like one of my characters. I don't know what that was. It was like it. There's a thing, and it kind of goes like this. I think we should all unify, and I think we should be together, and, well, what do you mean by that? Well, the blacks, you see, that right away. Call me impatient, call me a jackass, call me. 1-800-449-8686. Here is Chad on the Phil Hendry Show. Chad?
Hey, how you doing, Phil?
Fine.
Long-time listener. Enjoy your show. Can't wait till you get your cast of characters back.
Well, in other words, what you're saying is we can't wait until American can be normal again.
Well, we may have to. Get them back a little sooner because I think they probably.
Yeah,
do
how
a
you figure I'm
going to?
And when am I supposed to bring them back?
Well, I'll tell you. I think right after we get when we give somebody a good cross right,
like I said, I'm so sorry I brought up that boxing analogy.
Yeah.
When we go to war, then that's going to be a whole other occasion for us to sort of stop down and talk serious, because then we're going to have American soldiers at risk. So I don't even know if that's going to be the time we can bring the characters back. But you know what?
Well,
you're right,
Phil,
Chad, and I'm gonna try to find my opening. And there's another boxing analogy.
Phil, we've already got the soldiers at risk. We have over 6,200 missing and dead. Totally unreported number of injured.
Yeah, and I'm really sorry that I've been using this figure 20,000, and I really shouldn't. That's the potential number. Actually, what we have is 6,800 dead and missing.
And those are all soldiers on the front line in this war. This different
little
war,
did they know.
They
got up in the morning and they went to work, and I don't think they saw themselves as soldiers.
They didn't know, and that. What my point for you today is, and I think that a lot of Americans are struggling with this, it ain't just America's war, that it's my war. somebody's got to tell me who my enemy is, and then they have to tell me how to engage him.
And then I'll go to the nearest 7-Eleven and punch him.
No.
Oh.
No, what you're going to do is my man Bush, and he's my man, he's going to tell me what I have to do as a frontline soldier in America to the betterment of my country.
More taxes.
And then I'm going to do that. I don't want to think about it. I just want to be told, and
right,
I want to go do
he's
it.
He's going to be on TV tonight, and it'll be interesting to hear what he's got to say. I think the president is going to give us a very broad and general outline of the potential military operation. Broad and general meaning you're not going to get any specifics because, quite frankly, with all due respect to all of us and our fine intelligent frames of mind, it would be a security breach, at least according to the president, the way he's going to conduct this war. Then I think he's going to give the news about the bailout, and I hate to use the word bailout. He's going to talk about the money that will be given to the airline industries and talk about the money that will be given to New York City to rebuild and try to get our bearings back economically. And he's been needing to do this one. He's been needing to do this. Alan Greenspan was there today, speaking, I believe, before Congress, and said that the fundamentals of our economy are sound, that the short term is going to look pretty bad, but the long term is going to look pretty good. And the stock market resounded and responded with a resounding 380-point drop. Not that Alan Greenspan is not an inspiring kind of a guy, but he's not the president. The president's got to get up there and talk a little bit about the reality of the economy and the fact that, you know, if you want to bet against Boeing and you want to bet against the airline industry and you want to pull your money out of those, it's probably a very smart time to be pulling your money out of airlines and out of, for instance, Boeing stock. But I'm going to tell you something right now. Man, I don't know when I'd want to get back into that market, but those are going to be bargains. What, are you going to bet against Boeing coming back? Maybe not. I don't know. But are you really going to bet against Boeing? An enormous company, major builder of aircraft. You're going to bet against those guys making a comeback? And the airlines? Now, some of those airlines may go for good. I don't know. May go for good, or they may reorganize. But tonight, I think the important part of that speech is going to be about the economy and getting people feeling like we've got some forward momentum. The whole thing I'm trying to say here is we feel like we're backpedaling still. We're talking a good game, and we're trying to prop up each other's feelings, and we're trying to give each other a hand up, and we're trying to, yeah, come on, it's going to be okay. But we're still feeling like we're backpedaling a little bit, and that's why the president, I think, is going to get on tonight and say some things, going to get us maybe up off the stool and getting moving forward again. 380 points. You know, I mean, that's like, what, it's going to be like 1,000 points when the week ends. That's a big chunk of change, no doubt about it. All right, 1-800-449-8686, The Phil Hendry Show, back in a minute.
The Phil Hendry Show is back.
So anyway, Mike, printed off this stuff for me. I think it's interesting, as long as we're all kind of talking a little bit about the military options and then I'd also like to talk about, you know, economic and diplomatic. It's all very important. It's a different world, all right? Let's get with it. Let's get up to speed. It's a different world than it was. This ain't your dad's war. You know, this ain't grandpa's war. This is the one that we're doing now. It's 2001. It's a different world. There are different ways of dealing with these individuals and countries. And look, we got Pakistan now. We're having to hope that Pakistan is going to support us. Pakistan. This is who we're in bed with. This is the reality. This is the reality. Now, Pakistan, we want their help. We give them $30 billion in debt relief. We help them with the Kashmir situation. We do some other things that they may want. Maybe there's somebody in their country that doesn't like America helping the Pakistan government. And it isn't exactly a democracy over there. It's a dictatorship. It's a military junta that runs that country. But we need their help. These are the people that we're in bed with. And this is part of what people talk about when they say we got to get our hands dirty. However, 10 years from now, who knows how that's going to come down and haunt us? Somebody's going to take an embassy in Islamabad and say, we're bugged, and why is that? Well, you supported those military guys 10 years. Oh, God, now we got to deal with you. What did we do wrong? I'll tell you what we're doing wrong. I said it yesterday. I said it the day before. I'm going to say it again just because I like the sound of my own voice, because I'm taking vocal lessons and I'm with a new speech coach after I blew my voice out 2 weeks ago. Now I forgot what it was that I said. No, let's get out of that part of the world, please. I don't mind going down there to visit. I hear they have some very interesting sites, many archaeological digs. I'd love to go to Iraq and see the Euphrates River and the Tigris and the center, the cradle of civilization someday. I'd love to go to Egypt and see the pyramids. I'd like to go to Iran and see the whirling dervishes and the Sufis and the marketplace there. Love to go to Afghanistan and look at the mountainous terrain and all of that jazz, the famous Khyber Pass. Ride a mountain bike up the Khyber Pass. Wouldn't you want to do that? But I don't want to go down there to buy oil and cozy up to some of these guys because they're the wrong people. But we got to do it. We got to do what we got to do, and so we got to be with these guys. Because if we don't have these guys catching our back, what do you think is going to happen if we do send troops in there and suddenly Pakistan says, you know what, we can't do this anymore. We got to get out. So now we got Pakistan on our rear end, Afghanistan in front of us. These are all the deals that got to be cut, and they're very delicate deals. And when you say, come on, why aren't we doing anything? First thing we got to do is set this thing up. We got to get down and say, now you're sure you're with us? Yeah, yeah, we're with you. Okay, great. You're not going to stab us in the back? No. As long as you give us the $30 billion, we'll give you the $30 billion. Are you with us? Yeah, okay, great. Now you, what about you? You with us? Well, I don't know. And I heard a guy say it today on, I think it was on Fox, and God, it couldn't have been truer. You want to know how nasty this business is? The two democracies in that region, and I say region, I say in that general ballpark of the world, are Israel and India, and Pakistan doesn't want them anywhere near this. They don't want them involved. Pakistan says keep Israel out, keep India out. And they're democracies. They have the same form of government as us. They're the same kind of, their people wish the same things that we wish. They want an egalitarian form of public, responsible government. They can't be involved. Who do we got to get into bed with? Pakistan, Syria, Iran, Libya. Oh, what a pack of sweethearts. Man, I can't wait. Not saying we shouldn't do it. We got to do it. But that's who we got to do business with. Now, 10 years from now, some guy is going to go ape, take an embassy, kill an American diplomat? I don't know what. Why? Well, you and Assad, you know, you gave him money. It's a matter of historical record that the United States government gave money to Syria's Assad, or whoever the hell's running that country now. Didn't he die? I can't even, you know, what? It doesn't matter. It's another dictator. And Libya, you helped that Gaddafi guy, too. Well, we did that because we were trying to fight to get the terrorists. Oh, don't come up with your bull crap. We know what you're all about. You're America. You're the great Satan. You know, I mean, sooner or later, we just got to get the hell out of there. And the only way we're going to get the hell out of there is if we start walking to work instead of driving, or get some oil someplace. I don't know where. Canada, find it. Now. I wanted to read the descriptions of these different forces, and I will. There's the U.S. Army Rangers, there's the Marine Expeditionary Unit, there's the Navy SEALs, there's the Air Force Special Ops, and then there's Delta Force, and they're all in one way or the other going to be involved in this. And I think you'd be interested to know just exactly what these guys are all about. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show.